Brother Bobby Adams.
Where you at, Brother Bobby? There you are. I had never physically met Brother Bobby Adams through the wonder of internet, where anybody can be anybody. The two of us met. I told him I was somebody. He told me he was somebody, and we just fell for each other's lies and such, and here we are. But no, he's a lover of the King James Bible and has followed, you know, of course, anybody follows my blog posts. I just think the world of him, you know, and such. But he's here. He's driven up from Western Tennessee to be with us. I appreciate that. And, you know, I'd invited him. He called Paul Foltz. Said, anything to that meeting? Paul said, we're going. Brother, you come on up here. I really appreciate you driving and being here, brother.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, let's get you all hooked up here. And... oh, sit down. Excuse me. Yeah. People know I don't know how to do that stuff, you know. Let's see. Actually, it goes on this way. All right.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I am delighted to be here. I truly am. Yeah, it was a long ride. I started at about 3:38 yesterday morning, or Sunday morning, early Monday morning, and I was scheduled, according to my phone, I was scheduled to arrive here by 4:40. I didn't make it. And it's an interesting trip up here, the way the roads are situated. And I grew up mostly in Illinois, and so I realize I may not be well liked as a Yankee, but I was born in Arkansas, grew up in mostly in Illinois until 1975. God had saved me by his marvelous free grace, and so I'm grateful for it. I was 15 when the Lord saved me. You know, there's a lot of you here today, and when I came in last night, I was so delighted to see the house full, and then seeing so many young people here, it just blew me away. I just sat there with my mouth open and at the crowd, and I enjoyed being here last evening and all of that, and so I praise God for it. But the church that I was saved in, they were one of the seven largest numerical churches in the state of Illinois. So when that pastor said, you need to come forward, I thought, not in front of all these people. But anyway, you don't have to do that. You can be saved right where you are. And thank God for that. But anyway, I grew up there. 75, we moved to Mississippi, and that's where I finished, went on to college and all that. I met my wife. And so anyway, now we're in West Tennessee. And so like the dear pastor said, we met on there. I noticed a few of his posts and I thought, huh, a fellow geek. And but anyway, I've enjoyed it. I was reading a couple of his blogs just this morning and really getting a thrill out of it. And I really enjoy it. I believe what we need to do is teach people the Bible, not teach Greek and Hebrew. Now, I've been taught Greek and Hebrew. I've had 21 hours of New Testament Greek. I've had 18 hours of Biblical Hebrew. What is that to you?
That's right.
Right?
Yes, sir.
That's not going to help you. And class, we're going to cite the 24 forms of the Greek article. Are we ready? We're in the nominative case for the singular. You ready to go? Give me a break. That's silliness. That's silliness. And now, of course, you know, for me, I always like stuff like that. So, okay, I'm ready to go. But when I've always said that for a preacher to get up, the Greek word says, the Hebrew says, I thought, man, you know, that's almost, and no disrespect to this particular melody, but, you know, I've always called that the Tourette syndrome. The Greek word says, you've lost 3-4 seconds or however long it took to give that word and then define the thing, you've lost that, you'll never get that back. So I've never understood the value of that. What I do understand is the difference as you're reading the Bible and the blog there of your dear pastor, or the difference between save and the word accept. And those are the things that are going to help you to get more out of your Bible and get you into the Bible. That's for the value comes in as far as I'm concerned. And I believe that that gives much, much help. Take your Bibles, if you would. And while you're turning there to 2 Peter, the second general epistle of Peter, I want you to look there with me in chapter 1. I'd like to say that I'm grateful to your pastor. It's a joy to be able to meet him. I'm up here really to get to know him a little better. Brother Paul and his dear wife, they are here. And I've known him for a number of years and to her for a year or so, couple. And so it's good to see them. And I appreciate being able to meet the other pastors and the ministry and just seeing the work here. I'm blown away. I'm utterly just beside myself, like Paul, they aren't mad. I'm not mad, but I'm just one of those that just, wow, what a work that God's doing up here in the middle of where? My. And I'm excited about it. So anyway, it's a delight to meet him. And then he took me out to McDonald's last night, so I got to eat. So I was filled, so I was really excited. I don't know if I can help y'all. I really don't. When I go different places, don't misunderstand. Don't take me for an individual that's full of himself or something of that nature. I'm not. But if you go somewhere, you want to try to help. If you possibly can, maybe you can. And with the teaching that as I used to put it in Illinois, youth guys, the teaching that youth guys are receiving is just top notch, and preaching of the word of God and these other men, and I'm telling you, I don't know if you really appreciate just how blessed you truly are. He is training you and teaching you to how to read the Bible. So when you come across some of your buddies and your families and friends and things that they use a newfangled version, when they do that, they say, "Well, I can't understand that." What you'll be able to say? You can ask them a question. What part of it you don't understand? You can help them. Why? You've been taught. You've been taught. And I'm amazed by that. I wish I would have had that many, many years ago. It is what it is. God's good and God's grace is wonderful. I need to get started so I can get finished. Appreciate the food. Appreciate the accommodation so very much. And so here we go. Hope you get something out of it. Grab something somewhere. Hold on. I speak quickly sometimes, but I figure, hey, you're Yanks, so maybe we'll accept you. Brother, what we got to do for you, we're going to record it, and then we're going to put it on slow. That's awful coming to somebody we don't know one another, isn't it? Never met you till today. Well, last evening, and so I appreciate it. Second Peter, chapter number 1. This is very familiar to you, and so let's just go ahead and dive in. I want to speak on the subject here with the time that I have, on strange cases of inspiration. And don't think that, well, this is going to be stuffy and boring, and I'll be glad when he shuts his mouth and gets up. I want to stand up, speak up, sit down, shut up, all right? I want to read to you very familiar scripture, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. And the Bible says, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I'd been pronouncing that spake until I read a blog by your pastor. And I said, okay, from here on out, I'm going to say spoke just like we've been. I believe I got you right, didn't I? I got you. And because where but down in the south, they're saying spake, 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 spake. So I just, okay, spake, spake. And I'm just thinking, no, that's got to be wrong. But I couldn't prove it. And then I read your blog. So now I can. So it's very, very helpful. And the Bible says here, holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I believe the inspiration is very important. I was trained that to think that the inspiration deals with the original. I heard just recently from Brother Paul stating that your pastor preached on just the other day dealing with the Word of God before it was written down. And I thought, wow. So then I thought about that passage, you know, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled where?
In heaven.
It's in heaven.
Yes.
So the word of God is settled in heaven.
Yes,
why can't we have it settled here on
That's
the
right.
earth?
Yes.
We'll never have it settled here on the earth with the majority of people because of filthy lucre.
Yes.
That's what it is. It's the love of money is the root of all evil, not all kinds of evil. That just means they're full of deceit and they don't understand what the passage means. So what do? They go to a lexicon and they change it. That's all they do. And then they put it on the market and it's filthy lucre. They don't understand what the text is really about. And that's what's behind a lot of them anyway. What I want to give you, kind of reiterate what your dear pastor has already been teaching, but I hope that I can take a little different turn if I possibly can. Would you notice here, I sat down and I went through the passage and I started looking at prophecy. Then I started in old time, and then I looked at the will of man, and then the holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I thought of the word moved. And have you ever been moved? You've been moved to words. You've been moved to tears. You've been moved to move. You've been moved. Genesis 1 and verse number 2, and the Spirit of God did what? He moved. Somebody said one time, you know, something about that most accidents occur close to home. What did he do? He moved. You ever been moved? And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. Holy men of old wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We can talk about the carried along and all that one. I don't wish to do that. I'm just letting you know that some passages began to run through my mind as I was thinking about this. But the clause stood out here in verse number 21 that I would like to call your attention to. The Bible says, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You ever heard the phrase that don't put words in my mouth? Somebody, you're talking to somebody, don't put any words in my mouth and all the kind of thing. You know where they got that out of? They got that out of the King James Bible. In the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 14, verse 3, verse number 19, Joab's trying to create something, and he tells a woman, this is what to say. And the Bible says, and David figured it out, the king, Joab put words in her mouth. Holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. They spoke. I'm going to slip back and say spake anyway. Sorry. But anyway, it is spoke. So you listen to your preacher. Yeah, it'll work. So holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And that's exactly what your Bible tells you. In the book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 23. 2 Samuel 23 and verse number 2. You're going to find it all over the Bible. 2 Samuel chapter 23 and in verse number 2. The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was where? In my tongue. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, that's all wonderful, well, and good. I believe in that, and I can give you a dozen more. I went ahead and I went through here, and Numbers 23 and 5. And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth. You want to talk about a strange case of inspiration, a donkey speaking? You want me to believe a book that talks about a donkey that does anything other than yaw, yaw? You want me to believe such a thing like that? Then you tear that out of the Bible. You want me to believe in the inspiration of the scripture? Then you go ahead and tear out the part of the resurrection where you have Mary Magdalene saying, sir, where have you borne him hence? And you tell me where you borne him hence, and I will get him, and I'll bring him back. A woman. You mean you're going to go get a full-grown man and you're going to bring him back here, a corpse? Have you ever lifted somebody up with what we call dead weight? You ever tried doing that? That's heavy. And you want to get a woman to tear that out of your Bible. That doesn't sound very believable. So this Bible is full of things of this nature. It has angels. It has the devil in here speaking. Why? Why isn't this book on TV? Why don't they make something out of this book? Why do not Christians who have theaters and have the wherewithal, why aren't they out there instead of teaching these cases in the Bible? I think it would be something for people to understand. I'm talking about God speaking from heaven. God directly speaking from heaven. This is my beloved Son, and whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Boy, isn't that something? Oh, you mean you've got an angel come down? Yeah, I even remember in the book of Genesis, I got one old fella wrestling with an angel. Aha! Where's your medicine bottle? What have you been taking? What's going on with you? What's wrong with you? Where'd you get that kind of a stuff? I'm telling you, there are strange things in your Bible. And I'll tell you, one of the strangest of all, is God becoming a baby and being born of the natural process, with the exception of the fact his was a virgin birth. I'm telling you, that is a strange, strange thing. Where are you going to get a book on this planet quite like this Bible? If that doesn't lure you, if that doesn't interest you and inspire you to get in the Bible, what will it take to get you there? Now, that's just the way that I look at it. I mean, here he comes. You read of all these other religions and my stars. They come down and they take wives of the children of men, and on they go. And you read there in the book of Genesis, and people of renown, and 2 Peter chapter number 2, as they speak about it, and back in Genesis 6, and about giants, and then they argue on and on and on. And then we have all this teaching that sparks up the Nephilim are on their way to planet Earth. I'm looking at it. You are some weird birds out there. I'm telling you, it's whatever you want, there it is. But you let your mom and dad tell you what you can, okay? I need to put that in there. But the strangest is God becoming flesh, living among us. You remember the Bible, the book of 2 Peter chapter number 2, concerning Lot. The scripture says that he vexed his righteous soul from day to day with what? Their filthy conversation. Can you just a little bit wonder what it must have been like for the Son of God to dwell among the sons of men? What it must have been like of putting up with the off-color jokes, the actual out and out cursing. You imagine what it must have been like for him, the sinless one. I'll tell you what it would have been like if you'd have been a brother or sister. You would have called him a goody two shoes. You would have hated him. You would have tried to trip him up. You would have tried to make him look silly. You would have tried to make him look stupid. You would try to make him sin. You know you would. Why? Because you want to cover up and have a cloak for your own sin. That's a fact. That's an absolute fact. So I'm just telling you, Jesus did it. Now I'm telling you, I don't know what we want. It's all supposition. It's just stuff made up. But I'm telling you, people being people would have struggled to blame him for everything. And that's exactly what continued throughout his ministry. Oh, he's got a devil. Who's going to listen to that? Over and over and over, people dogging his tracks and blaming him. And people come, we're going to hear what this bad boy, what this fella has to say. Oh, no, and putting up with that. Strange, strange. But then the worst of all, as far as strange as this is concerned, is he would let himself be crucified by a bunch of rotten, filthy sinners. You imagine that? The Bible says in Jeremiah 79, the heart is deceitful, desperately wicked above all things, and who can know it? And you can allow them to crucify him. Which of you, John 8:46, convinced me of sin? So he was without sin whatsoever. 1 Peter 2, the Bible says, neither was guile found in his mouth. I mean, nothing, man, nothing there, nothing whatsoever. Nothing that you can find to revile. Nothing there that's vile. Nothing. Nothing that would defile proceeded out of his mouth. And yet he proceeds to go ahead like a lamb before the slaughter, and a sheep before his shears is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. And so he went to the cross. Why? Because the Bible says about sin that every mouth may be stopped and that all the world may become guilty before God. That's it. So he had nothing. He was there for man, the creature sin, bearing that sin. So what would he be able to say? Your Honor, sir, so-and-so, Miss Eve, she's the one that deceived me, and I did take of the apple and I ate the thing. You know, she's just a pretty little thing. No, you don't have anything to say. There's no cloak. That's right. There's nothing for you to hide behind. There's nothing for you to say. You're dead. The wages of sin is death. And so Jesus Christ there took upon himself our death, our sins as our substitute. This is God in the flesh, not he who was in this. No, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, died on the cross, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so what is this? Inspiration. Oh, that's the original. Where did you get that thought? I, You know, I just thought, where in the world, in this, and you know, in this old world, can you come up with a thought like that? Oh, the originals are inspired. Yes, sir. I understand that. I'm sitting there in class. And listen to all this stuff going on and debate and the teacher and et cetera, making me sick in my stomach. I thought, you know, all scripture in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scriptures give me inspiration of God. And I thought, is given. My, the places within your Bible you will find is given. Not were, not was, is given. So you know why? Here's what they say. Bobby, I have to trade this in. Why? Because the young people, including myself, we can't understand the Bible. I'll tell you what you need. You need the Holy Ghost. You need to be born again and the Spirit of God. The Bible says what? You know the passage. You've been taught that. You've been, and preachers, you've been reading that. In the book of Job 32 and verse number 8, there is a spirit where? In man. And the inspiration of the Almighty does what? Gives him understanding. You want to talk about what you need is understanding. I'll tell you what, you know what, one of the reasons why that I want one of these newfangled versions is because I realize that somebody just as dumb as me sat down and wrote the thing for filthy lucre. That's it. If you can figure all of this thing out, man, if you can do that, then I don't know what you need. Nobel Peace Prize? I don't know what the case may be. You need something. You need something. If you can figure all of this out, I can't figure it out. I tell you, the only thing I know to do is start in the book of Genesis, read the book of Revelation. What do you do then? I start back in the book of Genesis and I go to the book of Revelation. What do you do then? You get the point? You get the point? That's what I do. I go in and I'm reading, you know, and as I started to say a while ago, you have an old rascal there. There's a rascal. And he's wrestling with an angel. And that angel touches him and within his thigh and it shrank there and he lived for the rest of his life. Do you believe that? I think he did. I think he wrestled with the angel. I think he understands what it's like. What it's like. This is a book. Strange cases. But here you go. In Jeremiah 1 and 9, the Lord said unto me, behold, I put my words where? In the mouth. In Jeremiah 36, verse number 4, then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah. Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord. That's inspiration. Where do you get that it applies to the original? You dumb bunny, you. There's something wrong with your brain. I know where they got it. I went back and done a little bit of research, and I listened to some people, and I got a few people online that does some research, and so I get some information. And I back in the 1600s and stuff, they come, oh, that applies to original. And then in the 1800s, oh, that applies to original. Yeah, it sure does. Well, you can sit down and shut up over there and sit and listen to a God-fearing, God-called, Holy Ghost-filled preacher where the Bible says, holy men of old spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, and all scripture is given the inspiration of God. Let me ask you a question. Do you got scripture?
Yes.
Do you have scripture? I've got scripture.
Amen.
Is it given by inspiration? Well, that's what the book says.
Right.
Oh, well, you know, we believe in the verbal plenary inspiration of the... shut up. You ever watch those cartoons? Those little crows? You young people, you miss some of the good, some of the best cartoons. You know, it's like Abbott and Costello grabbed him. Shut up. That's what I want to do sometimes with these people. Shut up. Sit down and let the Bible teach you. Listen, too many people are like Martha. They're coming about with so many different things, all the manuscripts and all the old stuff. And then she got finally, she just couldn't take anymore. Lord, would you be Mary to come and help me? There's about 80 people there. Come over to dinner right after the morning service. And she had all that care on her. Well, that's interesting. Well, the Lord said to her, Mary, go help your sister. She's one. You know what kind of person she is. We understand. Just go help her out. Just this once, just to get her. And a few minutes, you can go ahead and come on back. No, that's not what he said, was it? We might try to empathize and sympathize and stuff. There's a couple there. And we might decide to do something like that. But I tell you what, the Lord said, no. Martha, Martha, thou art cumbered about with many things. But Mary hath chosen the needful thing. What is that, Lord? Sitting at the feet of the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same as in the beginning with God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among. She sat and listened to the Word of God. which is what you're doing today.
Yes, sir.
I hope so. I hope so. Now, you can't control where your mind's going to go. I can't. You can. In verse number 6, reading the roll, which thou hast written from the mouth, the words of the Lord. Thou shalt speak my words. All right, on. Right now. What's that going to do for you? The Bible's done. You got a book of 66, you got a book here, and it's got 66 books in it. A book within books. And so that's what you've got. So how's all of this going to be able to help? Well, I believe it'll help in many respects. Without going into a lot of them, I simply want to give you a passage of Scripture. And it's found in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 59, verse number 21. This is what you need. If you're saved this morning, you know Jesus Christ, then my friend, you're a Bible reader. You believe the book. You sit under your dear pastor, all these other men of God, if you've come travel with them. And you've sat under them and listened to them and said, I just don't get a thing out of it. I just don't get it. What are they talking about? Well, all these and thous and stuff. It's like that Elizabethan language, which it's not. But nonetheless, it's what they call it. And I just spit all over myself. Oh, Lord. You know, that's what some people look at that. This is the Word of God. It is the Word of God. I think it's sacred. I think you ought to look at it that particular way. And I believe God will give you life. Instead of these clowns that are saying, the originals have been lost. We shall never find them. They're lost into antiquity. Therefore, it is our job. Make sure I get 6 figures for this. Therefore, it is our job to figure out what the Word of God is and give it to the people. That's what we'll do. And then they come up with Nestle's text, and they've gone to the 28th. Now it's the 29th edition. Well, 28th edition. And they're working on the 29th. In other words, they haven't figured it out yet. Would you pay a sucker like that? Come on. Ladies, say your man. Come on. Honey, the water pipe bust. And he goes and puts on his man britches. And he goes and grabs his little tools, you know, his Stanley tools. He don't know how to use them, but they look good and he feels good about it. And he takes those things out of the kitchen. And he creates a mess. All of a sudden you're thinking, you know, I love you, honey, but we got to spend some money. And get someone over there, and that fellow comes in there, and you're sitting down there, and you're right there in the pool of water, and you don't know how to fix the thing, and I think I better go turn the water off before I go. Well, and then that fellow comes in there, and he doesn't know anything more than your husband. But you like the guy, for crying out loud, he's a nice man. Oh, what a nice young man. Don't you think he's a nice young man? I tell you what, it's not fixed yet, but can you pencil me in for next week and come back? Week after week after week after month? Would you pay somebody like that? They still haven't got it right.
That's right.
I want you to know from the book of James, these general epistles from James all the way through the book of Jude, that's all they've got completed with the new system in the Nestle's Greek New Testament, the newest of the new. They've got to come out with another new because they've changed 34 times. Now that they finished the book of Acts, it's online. It's online right now as we speak. It is online. You can go there and read that till your little heart is content. You can read it if you can read Greek. And there it is. And you compare that thing and you compare it with the text that comes that we've got, and they're nothing alike. They're nothing alike. They're not through changing it yet. I'm glad that I've got a Bible that is complete and that it is what the Bible says. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm glad I've got a book. Isaiah 59:21. I didn't think you'd ever get around to it. Verse 21, as for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord, my spirit that is upon thee, and my words, not word, I believe in the Word of God. Back up. Is that singular or is that plural? I believe in the words of God. You can believe what you want to believe. Because it's a general, vague concept, the idea, the ideals and principles and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, yes, Professor. Yes, yes, thank you, sir. So we have here written, my words, which I have put where?
In my mouth.
There you go, in thy mouth. And shall not depart out of thy mouth. You know why?
You're reading it. The Spirit of God is bearing witness with it. And you're quoting it. You're reading it. You're quoting it. And you're giving that thing out. And all of a sudden you get a burden to win souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. The word, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. The word is there. God says that I will put the word in thy mouth that will not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of the mouth. Excuse me, I got confused there with the mouth. All right, get that foot out of your mouth, Bob. So it says, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed. Saith the Lord. How many seeds would that be? The next phrase here. From henceforth and forever. That's forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Matthew 24, 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will not pass away. Maybe, you know, so there you go. Now, that is what the Bible gets. Now, can I give you something before I close? Mindful of our time here together. Some of the strange cases, other than what we've mentioned, and I'm sure you can find more, but along those same lines, what do you do with cases like this? You have a conversation between Pharaoh and some of his magicians. Moses is not over there. He's not privy, you know, to be, you know, with what is going on, because it's a private meeting. He's not been invited. He's not there, so he's over there. And then what about the conversations between Joseph and the interpreter in the book of Genesis? And the Bible says that Joseph spake to his brothers how? By a what? An interpreter. You know what they call them today? Translators. Translators. Interpreters. Oh, I'm telling you, you got the Holy Ghost, the greatest interpreter there ever was. There's a spirit in man, 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. You've been shown that. I know, because he's already preached it. And so you have that in the Bible. So I've got the Holy Ghost. I'm saved. The Spirit of God lives on the inside of me. And I got the right one, baby, right here in front of me. Here it is. You've got the scriptures. I'm telling you what? Now read your Bible. And grow. But grow. For 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom we glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow. 1 Peter 2 and 2, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So that's the only way you're going to be able to do it, you know, is just get in the word of God and see it. I'm just quickly bringing these up. And I just thought, wow, he's speaking through an interpreter. And yet all of that from the Egyptian language into Hebrew, and it was in your Bible. Yeah. Then, as if it stopped there, because inspiration, honey, is not just the originals. Right. That may sound good.
Yes, sir.
Okay? That may go well with the accredited world, but that'll not fly with the Bible believer. I don't think it should.
Right. That's right.
I don't think it ought to fly.
Right.
Oh, no. Let's back up. It's not even there. Holy men of old spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. All scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable. That means I've got it.
Right.
That's the way they look at the thing. So what do you do? And so therefore it is in English. And God speaks to us in what language?
Sure.
What is the number one language of the world?
That's it.
Yes, sir. Oh, it's not fair, Bobby, that these other countries who do not have they don't speak our language and stuff like that. Let me tell you something. When the Lord wrote the originals, all right, that you just fall down and salami baloney to, that, you know, when he wrote those originals, when that, you know, they were penned or whatever, less than 1% of the world's population spoke Hebrew.
Right.
Did it affect God? Oh, I guess I better give you one. Oh, you got to have one. From the South, you got your own language. And but in all fairness, how about Louisiana? Uh-huh. You ever heard those people speak? Come on, with a French background?
That's right.
Or a lady one time, you go, Bobby, you're getting directions over this, and you go through the closet door, and they don't mind. Go where? What's a closet door? I have no idea. So it's an entirely different language. So I don't, you know, but you know what? This is the end time Bible. This is it. This is what God gave you. I know God gave it to me. I was saved on August the 24th, 1974. Sure was. Got saved, little skinny, you know, I was then, skinny little puny boy, and God saved me. Called me to preach, and I thought, oh my, surely you're joking, and you want to punish me, because I was shy. I didn't like to be recognized. I didn't want to go anywhere. I didn't want to speak anybody. In fact, first time I ever spoke in a crowd of people, you're going to laugh and think you're making it up. You're embellishing. I'm not. My knees began to go back, you know, sideways. And then my leg, like Elvis, was shaking. I noticed that there was a quiver in my voice. This was in geography class. Had nothing to do with, you know, trying to, you know, change anybody's life. I guess maybe I look back now, of course, you know, reflection, and you know what to say about hindsight. The teacher was a pretty lady, so maybe that's what tripped me up. I don't know. But whatever it was, and all of a sudden, my voice was, and every class has a moose. Moose took up arms, and shook me up even more. My heart started pounding. So I take my paper, and I'm going to try to get a little bit closer. And my hands start shaking. I'm going to tell you what, I couldn't help it. You know, when I read about Moses, and God got put out with him, I'm almost done, hang on. And God put out with him, as we would say today. And with him, and I stutter. Oh, that's a big problem. God's going to put words in your mouth, the Almighty, the Ancient of Days, otherworldly words, and put them in your mouth, and you're worried about, I stutter. Doesn't your brother a good speaker? I know your brother's a good speaker. Then he's going to be to you a mouth, and then you will be to him as a what? God. You be to him as God. You give him. And that is inspiration. Just like Jeremiah and Baruch, out of his mouth, God took his word, put it in his mouth. Jeremiah spoke it. Baruch wrote it down. That's exactly what the book of Romans says. In Romans chapter 16, verse number 22, I, Tertius, wrote this by mine own hand. Paul spoke it. and Tertius wrote it down. I wrote all this down because I didn't think anybody would believe me. I'm assuring you that it's the absolute truth. You had four writers of 1 Corinthians, Stephanus, Fortunus, Archaeus, and Timotheus, 2 Corinthians, Titus and Lucas, Ephesians, Tychicus. That's if you believe what's down below, you know, in your Bible. We don't believe that. That's not inspired, right? So anyway, that's just the way that I took the thing. So, well, now you have what I have. Strange cases of the inspiration. Copies, because you have in the book of Ezra, chapter number 1. I told you it's all over the place. In the book of Ezra, chapter number 1, is written in the Syrian language. And then they read the copy of a letter. And where do you have that? Right in here. What is this? It's a copy. This is the word of God. This is God's word. And it's the perfect word of God. It's without proven error. There's perfection. And you've got a spirit. If you're saved in you, and the Spirit of God communicates with your spirit, the words of God. Amen. Right here. So I encourage you to spend time. And I'm sure you are. I'm sure you are. Thank you, brother.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.